Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Vernomatic Productions.
This is David Ellison, and you're listening to Metal Mayhem ROC with John the Vernomatic Verno and Metal Waltz.
Are you ready?
Live from the Metal Mayhem Studios in Rochester, New York.
We are gold.
And heard around the world by metalheads just like you. This is Metal Mayhem ROC.
Heavy metal music.
Your weekly dose of metal music, interviews, album reviews, news, and more.
Want to be part of the show?
Send us a message through our website, metalmayhemroc.com, or hit us up on Facebook and Twitter.
Search Metal Mayhem ROC.
A proud member of the Pantheon podcast team.
It's getting nice and heavy.
Now, welcome our hosts, John the Vernomatic Verno, and direct from New Jersey, Metal Walt.
Good evening, everybody. As always, new content drops on a weekly basis. Tonight's episode, we're joined by Dave Jr. Ellefson, formerly of Megadeth and countless other acts in his career. Dave's in Southern California right now in advance of this weekend's NAMM convention. It's the big trader show that all the guitar companies and music industry insiders attend. Dave's there to promote his coffee line and also the release the trailer for the forthcoming Nick Menza documentary, This Was My Life. He also talks about one of his bands, Kings of Thrash. They're performing there. The Metal Jam and Metal Hall of Fame gala is going on this weekend, as well as a reunion of the Metal Allegiance 10th anniversary. There's a Ronnie Montrose concert there, remembering Ronnie, and just tons of cool stuff. So in this interview, we talk old school Rochester connections, Megadeth and Dave at the House of Guitars and Lakeshore Records, as well as historic gigs he's played around the globe during his 40 years. Great interview. Before we get to that, though, remind you, get up to metalmayhemroc.com. Join our community by signing up for the newsletter. That way we give you alerts on new podcasts, new YouTube videos on our YouTube channel, alerts for our live radio show on Monday night. So it's everything you need all in one email. Recent episodes last week, we had Damian Collati, filmmaker of the new Riot documentary, Immortal Soul. And at the beginning of the year, we had both Biff and Nigel from Saxon talking about the new album and the new tour. So again, get up to metalmayhemroc.com and subscribe to the newsletter. All right, that's about it. Let's get into this. Metal lifer, Dave Ellefson. For my co-host, Metal Walt, I'm the Vernomatic. This is Metal Mayhem ROC. Well, we welcome to the show today a veteran of over 40 years on the rock and roll and metal landscape. He's currently gearing up for a busy-ass weekend out in California at this year's NAMM show. It's an honor. Let's welcome to Metal Mayhem ROC, Dave Ellefson.
How you guys doing? Yeah, I'm in California. I got over here yesterday, and first thing of the day was talking with y'all, a bunch of press and rehearsals, and then on into the advertised week. It's a busy, busy week.
Well, I can guarantee we're going to stand out in your day of press. I'd like to introduce you to my partner, Metal Walt from East Hanover, New Jersey.
What's up, Metal Walt? How are you, buddy?
Hey, what's up, Dave? How you doing, buddy?
We're about as far away as possible from New Jersey to California. Yeah.
It's on the ocean, right? Across coast to coast, man.
You know, when I first moved here in 83, I only heard about you guys, and mostly from like Metal Maria Ferraro, who now is such a wonderful publicity firm. But at the time, she was, you know, friends of the community, the Old Bridge Militia, you know, Johnny Z.
Yep.
Metallica was just getting signed, some Megaforce and soon Anthrax. So, yeah, I only heard about you people from New Jersey. Now I've actually met you. So
we are good. We are lifeblood metalheads. I am located in the heart of all of that.
Nice.
You know, the Old Bridge Metal Militia, WSOU. You remember WSOU, the Great Collegiate?
I think I just talked to them recently, actually, for something. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. The stalwarts of the metal community.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They're still going. Scene Hall Radio. Props good to them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know what? I'm up here in Rochester. I'm a little closer to Walt than you, but you know what? You have some heavy metal roots here, and let's go back down that heavy metal memory lane. I went in the archives, and I dug up some snapshots from you. 1986, we were at the Lakeshore Record Exchange. You're in town opening up for King Diamond. You remember this day, Dave.
Dude, absolutely. In fact, thank you for it, because I remember the motorhome. Of course, I remember the shirts and the beers and everything else. I was wondering where that bottom right-hand corner was taken. So that's there. So, hey, so I have a funny story. So, you know, I became friends with the Goo Goo Doll guys, right?
Yep.
Who started in Rochester, kind of like as a little punk band before they, you know, had their big mainstream, you know, music career. So John Resnick and Robbie, the bass player, they told me they were at that show. And they were so thrilled because they got to run the spotlight for King Diamond. Is it the Penny Arcade, right?
Penny Arcade, yep.
Yeah. And they were he's like, dude, we couldn't believe it. We got to run the spotlight for King Diamond. They were like, just fanboying out. So, you know, you never know where these threads from all these different parts of the music community all come back to things just like that photo you showed right there, Megadeth and King Diamond.
Yeah, it was the summer of 1986. I remember that day was hot as hell. That in-store was at the old Lakeshore Record Exchange. Ron and Jackie Stein, very instrumental in the Rochester metal scene. And you guys, you opened for King Diamond. It was right at the beginning of the P-Cells tour. You know, was it Killing Is My Business or was it like the first or second date of P-Cells?
Yeah, no. So I'll give you so we had signed, we actually made P-Cells for Combat Records. And then the majors jumped in. Capitol Records won the bidding war, so we went with Capitol. And while they were setting the record up, manufacturing it, doing all the, you know, the publicity and everything for it, we went out on the King Diamond tour. And King had just gone solo for Merciful Fate, and of course it was a good move for him because he had great success with that. And then, you know, to come back just a couple years ago, we're now Merciful Fate's huge again, you know. Yeah. So, well, I shouldn't say again, huge, maybe for the first time, right? So, you know, so, but yeah, that, and Mickey D was the drummer. Yep. Andy LaRock was, and I think still is, King's guitar player. So yeah, super fun tour. Lean and Mean, Motel Sixes, you know, a lot of Denny's, this kind of stuff, you know. But and then after that, we went out with Motorhead for a couple shows, and we did some more headlining, and then but turned the corner into 1987, and then that was when Alice Cooper took us out, and we started doing the arenas and, you know, doing that bigger stuff. So, but yeah, that summer tour, that summer of 86 with King was awesome, man. That was a fun time.
Before I send it over to Walt and we talk about 2024, just a quick snapshot, your remembrance of the House of Guitars, because in that other picture, you signed the back wall.
Yes. In fact, we just posted that picture on my, we do these throwback Thursdays, right? Hashtag TBT, you know, on my socials. So we have fun when people send pictures over, we discover things, go, oh my God, this is perfect for a TBT, you know? So we actually just posted that picture and got incredible comments, of course, because, you know, a lot of people, you know, live near you, have been mm-hmm. through there, you know, House of Guitars. I actually did a clinic there for Jackson Guitars recently, maybe 5 years ago or something, right? And the place hasn't changed. I mean, I don't think they vacuumed the carpet. They haven't moved. Same Shure PA systems. I mean, everything is still exactly as it was back when we signed that wall in 1986.
You could probably go in the back and still rifle through the magazines and find an old Kerrang. Guaranteed, yeah. You're spot on.
You'll probably find those Budweisers that we had are still in the trash.
I'll tell you what, after this, I will email you all those pictures so you can have them for your archives.
All right, that's that. Thank you, man. I appreciate that. That's cool. That's a great throwback Monday right there. That's a good one. Well done.
So, Dave, you got a busy week coming up. You got a lot going on, so we want to give you the chance to talk about everything. I mean, everything's centered around NAMM, of course, but I think more importantly, you're going to be performing, I think, in some performance in one or another every day this week except today. So take us through your week in terms of the performances coming up.
Well, tomorrow night, we got asked to go back to the Ultimate Jam Night at the Whiskey, and that's really where Kings of Thrash started. In April of 2022, so just like 2 years ago. They did a tribute to the Big Four. Jeff Young called me, said, "Hey, you want to fly out and we'll jump up as surprise guests and play a couple songs," which we did. And Chaz was our singer, Chaz Leon. So that's how we knew, like, this guy's great. So, you know, just we kind of kicked this. I'd had this idea to go out and play, you know, early records, especially Killing Is My Business, you know, because that I was doing these horror conventions, you know, out by you, Thriller or Chiller, rather.
The Chiller Festival, yep, in Parsippany.
Excuse me, yep. And it's fucking raining out, so I'm shaking off the California crud here. So pardon my sneezing and coughing. But yeah, so as I was doing that, I'm signing all these Killing Is My Business records. And I always wanted to go play that record, you know, just top to bottom. It'll take a total of about 32 minutes. It's not very long. So I had called Chris Poland back in 2021 after I was a Chiller, and he was, you know, down for it in some way. But me and Jeff playing at the Ultimate Jam, you know, just a few months later there in 2022, made that all come together. So we called it Kings of Thrash. So we're going back to, you know, the origin story, Tuesday nights, Ultimate Jam at the Whiskey. And of course, the Whiskey's kind of become our de facto home. You know, we did the Best of the West live at the Whiskey A Go-Go, double album, DVD there. So, you know, and it was just funny because when I first met Dave and we were starting Megadeth, he goes, "We're never playing any of the clubs in LA." And I was like, "Oh man, all my rock star dreams, you know, playing the Whiskey and all these things, famous places shattered, you know." So, which was right. We did the right thing, debuting Megadeth up in the Bay Area. But, you know, so it's funny that all these years, you know, 40 years later, I'm finally getting to play the Whiskey. So that's the start of it. Then Metal Hall of Fame Gala is Wednesday night down at the Delta Hotel in Anaheim. Kings of Thrash should be playing there. I got asked to do an induction there for somebody to just sort of do the introduction. So that's certainly an honor. I was inducted. First, I inducted Nick Menza posthumously. Then I was inducted. Chris Poland's been inducted. So, you know, it's a cool community, and it's great now that thing's getting some really good visibility, you know, it'll be cool because Penelope Spheeris is there. Of course, she did.
Oh, yes.
You know, Natalie Wayne's World, which I saw a gazillion times. But also she did The Decline of Western Civilization. She did not only the In My Darkest Hour video, but she also did a remake of These Boots Are Made for Walking, a remake of our remake, that she put into one of her movies called Dudes. That would have been 87, I think, that she did that. And then later that year we did Decline of Western Civilization for her. So we had a long history with Penelope. Oh, and she did No More Mr. Nice Guy video. So we had a long history there from kind of about 87 through 89 with her. So it'll be great to reconnect with her. So that's that. Then Thursday night, Metal Allegiance, Dieth is actually here as well. We're going to play a quick little direct support set to, you know, first U.S. show for Dieth. And then the onslaught of Metal Allegiance. And then Friday night, I'm going to jump up and jam some tunes for the Ronnie Montrose Remembered show. Jimmy DeGrasso called me in 2007, so I went out and played for about 2 years. Me and Jimmy were the rhythm section for Ronnie Montrose, which was super fun gig. Really, really fun songs. And so, yeah, so it's kind of my whole musical history in like five shows snapshotted this week in turning down.
Pat Gasaldo has done a hell of a job at that Metal Hall of Fame. It's nice that he's coinciding with the NAMM. It took all these years to find a nice, you know, partnership, if you will, indirect partnership.
Yeah, and I think it's great that he's got Eddie Trunk hosting it. You know, he's hosted it all these years. Of course, Eddie was very vocal about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame not being so rock and roll. And of course, I think now he's maybe sits on the board, or he's a voting member now. So he's spoken out that they've at least made some improvements in the right direction. So, you know, Eddie's a great ambassador for our team, you know what I mean? I think it's great. And it's nice that we have one of those, you know, something that speaks very specifically, because like a lot of people, as big as they are as icons in metal, you know, they're never going to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame of something of that, of whatever that size is. So, you know, to have our community support its own, I think is huge. You know, I'm glad to be in it. I think it's cool.
Dave, a little useless piece of information, but the Metal Hall of Fame had a Winnebago, a really extended long Winnebago, and that was parked through the whole 2 year period of COVID at a ShopRite parking lot about 5 minutes from my house.
Wait, so this is from the Metal Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know that one. I actually saw a picture of it. Yeah, I know that one that he has. So that was parked by, did you go up and like hang out maybe?
Yeah, well, I went over there. Every time I would go to ShopRite, I would pass by it, open to see somebody. Yeah. And I would just take photos of it, but then there was nobody around because it was COVID. So it just felt good because it was 5 minutes from home. I'm like, this is cool, sad
than seeing a motorhome or a tour bus just sitting on the side of the road, empty, vacant, not in use, you know?
And it's gone. It's probably moved out to better places now.
Yeah. Well, but, hopefully it's on the road somewhere.
Exactly. So, hey, Dave, about the Metal Allegiance shows and even, let's say, the Ronnie Montrose, like, so the Metal Allegiance, this is a 10th anniversary gig, right? So you got a bunch of, like, who's going to show up aside from the core band?
Well, we've got a handful of guests. Troy Sanders from Mastodon. This would be Chris Poland's first time on stage with us, which I'm glad about because, you know, I get asked to be part of a lot of jams. And then always when I'm there, I'm like, why are we not playing a Megadeth song? Like, Megadeth, like, we became one of the biggest, certainly metal bands in the world, right? And we play Kiss and Aerosmith or whatever. And like, why the fuck are we not playing a fucking Megadeth song? You know what I mean? So I'm going to start writing it into my contract, my rider. You know? And none of these have contracts. These are all just buddy gigs, you know what I mean? But I'm just, you know, it's like, hey, we play. So it'll be fun for me and Chris, obviously. And we'll jam a vintage song of ours together. So that's going to be fun. You know, that'll be cool. And, but yeah, me and Mark Menge, we kind of split the bass duties 50-50. Of course, Portnoy's up there the whole night. Same with Skolnick. You know, these guys are freaking warriors. These guys, man, they just pummel through. And Menge, and Portnoy loves it because this is his metal gig, as he's called it. You know, he's got kind of his prog gig, his jazz gig, is, you know, he's kind of got these buckets, you know, and this one fills the metal bucket for him, you know? So, but yeah, and then there's some other surprises. It's, you know, obviously if I told you, it wouldn't be a surprise. So come to the show and you will see.
Talking about Portnoy, I just happened to watch that video he did. Alex Van Halen was honored and inducted into Good Drummer Player Magazine Hall of Fame. And there was Mike and Ray Luzier and they were doing Alex Van Halen songs. And
yeah,
just the enthusiasm was bleeding out of Mike. It must be a thrill playing with him.
Mike is just a fan, you know what I mean? I realize that's why he gets all these gigs, is he's just a fan, you know. Twisted Sister, it's like, who lives around here that knows some Twisted Sister? How about Portnoy? Sure, he knows all of them, you know what I mean? So that's how he gets these gigs, is he's just, obviously he's a great drummer, but he's got it in his heart, you know. He's a musician at heart, he's a music fan at heart. And I saw it at the Eddie Trunk 40th anniversary thing. You know, he was, after Michael Anthony jammed with Sammy Hagar, Sammy left the stage. Portnoy got up behind the drums, and then they ripped through some like DOA. He talked about love, some vintage one that Michael Anthony sang on his own. And yeah, and he's just watching Mike play. You're like, this is him jamming along to his record collection, you know? So it's fun. It's fun with Mike. He knows like every song ever written in any genre.
Well, there you go. Now you're talking Van Halen. All right. Well, just like yourself, Dave, Mike, he loves this extracurricular activities, jamming with his buddies, playing different genres. That's what it's all about. Listen, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, Metal Walt and Dave, they're going to take a walk down heavy metal memory lane in New York City. And Walt's going to share some experiences he had seeing Dave in different venues and different outlets. And then we're going to talk about the rest of Dave's killer weekend at NAMM 2024. We'll be right back.
Metal Mayhem ROC.
Metal. I'm Metalhead.
Metal Mayhem ROC is the home for metal from the very beginnings.
This is James DeBert from Hellstar. You're listening to Burn-O-Matic.
Dave Overkill from the Cleveland band Destructor. Hey, Dave, how are you?
I'm doing great.
To longtime headliners.
Hey, this is Red Beach from Whitesnake.
Hey, this is Vinny Appice from Dio, Black Sabbath, and Last in Line.
To music of today.
Hi, this is Olaf Wikstrand from Enforcer.
Hi, this is Brian from Mastodon.
You're listening to Metal Mayhem ROC.
With John the Vernomatic Burner.
Plus, we talk with producers and authors to give you behind-the-scenes info.
Hi, this is William Irwin, author of The Meaning of Metallica, Ride the Lyrics.
Greg Renoff, the author of the book Van Halen Rising, in the Ted Templeman book, A Platinum Producer's Life in Music.
Pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Metal Mayhem ROC, a proud member of the Pantheon podcast team, giving you more to listen for. Join our community and always remember to keep it heavy.
So, Dave, I'm going to take you back in time a little bit, too. I don't have the long history like the Rochester days, but here's one you might have remembered. It was about 12 years ago.
Yeah.
The band Hail. You guys didn't do a lot of touring around the city, but I think this was like one of the only shows you guys did in the States, and I was at it. And I pulled the old ticket stub out, and it's funny, looking at the set list, you didn't do Megadeth songs.
Yeah.
Once again.
My point, right? It's like, what the hell?
It wasn't right? In the contract.
Of course, we didn't play any Dream Theater either, but, you know, that is, you know, maybe slightly out of genre. But, yeah, it is funny that we play something by everybody else. You know, it's kind of, could they all take off kind of the Ringo Starr All-Star Tour, right? I guess he's probably the one who kind of started this, which, as I understand, David Fischoff, who owns and runs Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp, I think he was the one who started Ringo's All-Star Tour. And the idea is, you know, after you play some Beatles songs, if you get Mark Farner up there, you play some Grand Funk. If you get, you know, Randy Bachman, you play some BTO. You know, everybody kind of goes around the horn and plays some of their own songs. So, hence my point why I need to enforce my contract in playing a Megadeth song in every jam I do. But, sometimes, like, well, obviously, we play P-Cells or throw something in, you know. Because these kind of gigs are all just to sort of honor our record collection, right? And show that we're fans of things or we've been a part of them. And it's funny, that Hail gig, Portnoy sat in on that. You know, Jimmy Negrasso started it when we launched that. We went down to Chile, sight unseen, right after NAMM. We flew down to Santiago, got into a bar down there, and me and Andreas, Ripper and Negrasso, we put together basically kind of a similar set list that we did five cities across Chile. And you don't think, Chile's a long country. You go to the south and it looks like Seattle. You go to the north and it looks like, you know, Phoenix, because it's basically a mere opposite of the northern hemisphere, right? So if Seattle's to the north, if you're in South America, Seattle would be to the south, right? So obviously when it got to, you know, going to these different cities, I kind of correlated it to the west coast of the United States, you know. But it was super fun. Then from there, we did a whole tour. And then we had Roy from Stone Sour, I call it, I guess Roy from Ministry now. He was on drums. We did a whole Scandinavian tour in a van, just driving around Norway and Sweden and, you know, Denmark. It was super fun. We had Hank Sherman from Merciful Fate jump up and join us in Copenhagen at The Rock. And then we did some fly dates. We went to Istanbul, Turkey. We went to Athens, Greece. See, Athens and Thessaloniki are kind of two cities down there. Like, these are like biblical cities, you know. Oh, then we did Lebanon. We actually played we played in Beirut, which was super freaking awesome, you know. So we actually filmed, and that actually we filmed that. We actually have a six camera, you know, DVD quality video of that in the can that we should, you know, put out one day, live from Beirut. So,
wow, man, you it's busy. It's exhausting listening to this, but
it's fun, man. I love it. I you know, that's why the phone rings, I go, you know what I mean? I love it. It's like, you know, to me, I remember there's one time we were on a pretty grueling tour, might've been Cryptic Writings or something. And I remember flying into Phoenix or something. I'm going, why are we flying around the world, moving all these big black speaker cabinets around to play for people in every city? It's like, how can we just make them come to us, you know? And it's funny because the theater where we filmed Rude Awakening in Phoenix, it was called the Web Theater. And a guy, some, you know, rich guy had the idea as the .com thing was happening to have a place where you could do these web broadcast shows, right? So you play one night and, you know, 10 million people see it. I guess it's Zoom, right? It's you, right? So, you know, we were the last concert to ever play there. Now I think it's a ASU campus, you know, it's a college campus, but it was probably a great idea, just 10 years too early, you know, so the theater went away. So people have been having this idea for a while, but you know, the thing of it is it's about the experience, man. It's about the fun and the traveling and just being face to face with people. And I think COVID, if anything, taught us that. It's like, man, we miss people, you know? And what's that whiskey commercial? They play the Neil Diamond song. Sweet Caroline, right? And
the joke of the Irish bar.
Are the thing, you know, people are good for you is the tagline, you know? And it's true, man. It's, I think after COVID, it's like, we just all want to be in a room rocking out together, you know? And that's kind of my job while I'm on the earth is, you know, grab a bass, head out the door, go rock some nations.
Yeah. Dave, another couple of weird facts I'm going to throw at you. I claim to have been attended over 1,000 metal shows through my life, and that's no exaggeration, but only on two occasions was I able to catch two shows in one night, and you were involved in both, the now I think about it.
Okay.
So after the Hail show in New York City, Paul Di'Anno was playing in a little dive bar in Clifton, New Jersey called Dingbats. You guys ended at 10:30, got in the parking lot, drove through the Lincoln Tunnel out there, and by probably 11:30, we were in Dingbats and saw Paul Di'Anno. The other time was on the Painkiller tour, Judas Priest Painkiller. You played the Meadowlands on a Friday night. You were the middle slot between Priest and Testament. Friday night, Meadowlands ends, 11 o'clock. We get in the car. We drive to Lemoore in Brooklyn, and the show started late, and we saw Rat on the Detonator tour. So
wow,
you were part of my trivia of attending multiple shows in the night twice, and David Ellison was at both of them.
You know, it's funny because we went into the city. We were rehearsing that Hail show, the one you showed there, and we went in to got live on the air with Eddie Trunk and in the city. And as we were walking into the building, Paul Di'Anno was leaving. It was the only time I've ever met Paul. It was just wonderful. It was so great to meet him. Of course, we're such huge fans. We're nerding out. It's freezing freaking cold. It's like January or something, you know? So, I remember that well. And, you know, I remember one time we did, I can't believe you saw 1,000 shows, man. That's awesome.
Like you played 1,000 shows. I've been in the crowd 1,000 times. Same thing. Same aura, same experience, same love for the music.
Appreciate that. Thank you. You know, we did Megadeth in 99 on the Risk Tour. We did 3 shows in 24 hours. We played first the Arizona State Fair at 4 p.m. We had to rent a private jet so we could fly then from Phoenix over to San Diego, where we then played a big radio station festival at their amphitheater. And then the next morning, we got up and flew up to Sacramento, where we played a show with, SSOJ or KSS, if I forgot, KSOJ or whatever it is, the radio station up there. And Sammy Hagar was the headliner. That was the only time I'd actually met Sammy was there. So, and we did that within 2-3 shows in 24 hours. So we were, we were a little tired, but it was
good stuff, man. Good stuff.
Hey, the phone rings, you go, man. Come on.
That's right. That's right.
Well, that leads me to my next point. This NAMM convention, your coffee, Elfson Coffee Company, you have the display, and then, the big, Nick Menza doc, your helping roll out the trailer. Did you have the Elfson coffee during your three banger? Did you have that to help you get through? Tell us about the weekend with the coffee.
I can't afford to drink my own coffee. It's too expensive. So I had cheap stuff at the Exxon station. No, you know, the good news about our coffee is that it's, you know, you can smell it everywhere, I guess. You know, be like if someone fired up a joint, you could smell it everywhere, right? So the coffee booth is the same thing. You know, you could smell that coffee wafting all over Hall D, you know, as they call it there on the main floor. I'm powered very regularly with a lot of roast and peace, and you know, so it's good to have your own coffee close by. You know?
I was going to say, what great branding, Roast in Peace. I read that and I chuckled out loud. And then there's a couple other ones. What are the other names of your blends?
Well, Rock and Rose is the one that we did. And that was, that's our light roast. So we, you know, kind of made it lady friendly. We were actually donating some money for a while to a breast cancer charity down in Houston for a while. When we first launched that, and then Napalm in the Morning, that was kind of to celebrate comic records. Yeah. So that's our dark. So we got the light, medium, dark, and Roasted Beast is the flagship, of course, because they've all got great flavoring. I mean, I personally selected them and put the blends together with the roaster over in Phoenix. So,
well, to counter my co-host over here, I haven't counted my concerts, but as a child of the 80s, I had a chance to follow your career from that Penny Arcade show all the way through until I think the last time I was going to see you, Kings of Thrash had to cancel the Buffalo, New York show. So, within that, I had a chance to see Nick Menza several times in that classic lineup. Tell us about the new documentary, your involvement, and what a great, great period of your career. And we have a big loss with Nick. Tell us about it.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, the mighty hero that he was and will always be certainly left us too soon. But yeah, the documentary has been really, it's been a fun thing to do to just, you know, meet so many people and kind of, you know, our stories all kind of match up with Nick. That's the beauty of him is like, and usually they're like, and then you wouldn't believe Nick did this, dot, dot, dot. And then you wouldn't believe, you know, there is the time we walked into the Pizza Hut and Nick, you know, there's always some funny story around Nick because he was a real prankster and a jokester, aside from being the, you know, awesome drummer that he was and the creative heart that he had. And, you know, it's a whole story of his life. You know, obviously before Megadeth, you know, during Megadeth. But also his transition out of the band and, you know, his years there. And then, you know, he finished strong. And, you know, even though he passed while on stage, you know, as a musician and especially Nick, who just loved being on stage and loved playing his drums. I mean, it's like the ultimate way to go, you know, it's like, it's almost like if he died in his garden, it would have been unfortunate. You know what I mean? So the fact that he got to go out in all the glory on stage. And especially with Chris Poland, you know, who's obviously another, you know, Megadeth alumni and a dear friend. So, yeah, the premiere is going to be, will be cool. You know, Chris will be there. Jeff Young will be at the booth as well. Nick's sister, Danya, will be there. And I believe maybe even Nick's son, Nicholas, might be there as well. So, yeah, it's the fun thing about NAMM is, you know, you kind of set the schedule and you get it in place. And then as these days, starting like now or up until NAMM, 20 new things can fall into place. So that's the beauty of this.
When they actually will the documentary, is there a release date for the public for this?
You know, yet? We are solidifying that now. I should hopefully have some information about that by Saturday once we do the premiere.
And this is, again, Dave, this is all part of your, let's say, business empire because it's under your film company, and I see you have some other stuff coming out, a film called Bunker Heights, which contains one of your bandmates from the Lucid, one of your side projects. How do you get involved in all this stuff? I mean, coffee, bass, amplifiers, the film, you know?
You know, it's funny. The truth of it is, people call me, they email me, hey, do you want to be involved? Like the Menza thing is like, hey, do you want to narrate the film? Next thing you know, I'm, you know, kind of driving the bus on it, you know what I mean, to get it out, you know? You want to do some coffee or, you know, I talked about coffee. I was on Shiprocked and a production assistant that worked for Megadeth. She says, oh my God, I got to introduce you to this guy. He's got a coffee company. Next thing you know, after a, you know, 15 minute phone conversation, driving up the freeway, we've spun a whole coffee company in our heads and we make it a reality, you know? So that's, you know, that's how all this stuff happens. It's not like I'm sitting around like some mastermind. I mean, you know, a lot of it is kind of dumb luck. You know what I mean? You know, that's always that motto that I had, just say yes, which Al Petrelli taught me. And that's why I love that Jim Carrey Yes Man movie. You know, just say yes to life. You know, because here's the thing. You know, I had this new saying this year, you know, it's better to be led by our passions than driven by our fears. You know, because when we're driven, you know, lots of times we're trying to be driving away from something, maybe a hurtful place in our lives. Maybe some is an emotional moment that we don't want to feel again. And so that can have its value. But, you know, I think about, you know, when I was just a kid, got a bass in my hand, listening to my Kiss records and whatever else, you know, it was all for passion, man. It was fun. It was just kind of like, that's what I want to do, you know? And I never thought about doing anything else. Never had a plan B. There's no need for a plan B because plan A was the purpose, you know, that's the reason. So, you know, it's, you know, there's one of these motivational speakers. I can't remember his name, John somebody. And he, you know, his whole thing is stop focusing on your weaknesses and pay only attention to the things you're good at. You know, like, you know, if you're, it's like me, I wasn't a great saxophone player. It's a pretty good bass player. You know what I mean? Play the bass. That's your path forward. You know, even my band teacher told me that. He goes, listen, you got to play the saxophone in orchestra band so I can have you in jazz band. I really need you playing bass in jazz band. I like really need you. So just at least get a passing grade, practice just enough on the sax so I can give you a passing grade. You know, that was my first sort of political negotiation in the music business. You know, it is like, you know, play the sax good enough so I can have you in jazz band, you know? So, you know, I realized early on that it's, you know, give a little, take a little, everything's kind of a, you know, a compromise, and that's just how life works. So, you know, there's kind of the long answer to the short question.
You know, Dave, I work in the corporate world, and they tell me I need to stay up to speed with my technology skills. I'm a little behind.
Right.
So what did we do? We started a podcast to make sure that I can hone my skills in technology.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
And we just get lucky by talking to rock stars along the way.
Right. This is what you'd rather do. You need to do that once in a while to pay some bills, but you'd rather be over here talking about 1,000 awesome concerts you went to go see.
Yeah, you're damn straight. I do. It just doesn't pay the bills.
Big fan of your two audiobooks. I have them both in my Audible. I've listened to them several times. And the cool thing is you narrated them. And
right.
Is there going to be a third chapter, maybe life after death, to coincide with In My Life with Death and More Life with Death?
That's what I always said. I've got a trilogy, My Life with Death, More Life with Death, and then My Life After Death. So that is the next book. I just got to live a little before I could write that one, you know, so... But, you know, it's funny, when Megadeth disbanded in 2002, kind of the whole world was wide open. What do I do next? So I just explored a lot of different things. There's a really great voiceover recording artist in Phoenix. So I went and took some lessons from him. I put together a reel and kind of found my sweet spot of, you know, where I'm good narrating things, and kind of documentaries are my sweet spot. So it's funny, like our fallen brother, Bob Nalbandian, asked me to narrate a film or two for him. I did one for my friend, Fran Strine. It was about PTSD with veterans. And Fran, of course, also did the Hired Gun movie. So, and then I started narrating my own books. I did Making Music Your Business. I did My Life with Death, More Life with Death. More Life with Death was fun because I think most everybody who was in the book, like Dan Donegan from Disturbed, KK Downing, a bunch of people who actually gave quotes in the book, I hit them up if they would narrate their pieces. So when it came to, and then KK Downing says, you know, then it goes to him, you know, in the audiobook. So that was super fun, man, producing that thing.
I just listened to the new Geddy Lee book, and he did that. He did the narrating, but he had Alex Lifeson come in and do his commentary, which was cool.
Yeah.
But going over to the voiceover work, did you ever talk with John Bush about his career in voiceover work?
Oh, God. I mean, you know, John started a family. We couldn't get him out of the house. He wouldn't leave. You'd be like, you know, I'm just making too much money. I'm comfortable at home doing, you know, voiceovers and Burger King commercials or whatever he was doing.
He was the king.
Yeah. And I'm like, why not? You know what I mean? And so, you know, that was, and good for him. You know, that allowed him to be home and raise his family and all that. And now, you know, in recent years, he's been coming out. And I love having him on stage with Metal Legions. I mean, he's just such a pro. He's a great guy. When he sings, man, the freaking room changes, man. It goes to the next level. So it's really fun with him. So, look, the voice is an instrument too. So there's a lot we can do with it. So, hey, speaking of which, I got to get on another interview. I realize I've got another one sitting here that I should probably go pay attention to.
Okay, well, then let's wrap this up. Dave, thank you. Walt, quick parting shot.
Dave, it was a pleasure. Good catching up with you in 30 minutes. We covered 40 years. We'll see you again down the line. And best of luck with a great week. We'll be watching you from the sidelines.
Sounds great, you guys. Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
All right. See you again.
See you, Dave. Bye.
Metal for Life.
Thank you for listening to Metal Mayhem ROC. Check out our website at metalmayhemroc.com for information on podcasts, archives, links to all our live radio shows, and all sorts of info. Please like, follow, and share with everyone, even your non-metal friends. And always remember to keep it heavy.